As children and teenagers, we hear a lot about how to love our parents. But how do we do that as adults? That's what today's conversation is about.
Welcome to the Sifted Wheat Podcast with Leslie Lamb, a counselor by profession, a minister of truth, and a lover of people. This is a safe place where she sets a path for others to learn how to move through hard seasons with confidence and grace, encouraging your faith, empowering your choices, and challenging your perceptions through the Word, the wisdom from years of counseling others, and her own experience of being sifted. Here's Leslie.
I finished the Out of Order series and felt like there was much more that could be said about love. Since it's the most important thing that we will do in this world, and it is the emotion and action towards others that Jesus repeatedly says is will set us apart from the world around us. He also says that the family is the very space that our faith might be the most tested, and that we might be required to draw a line to distinguish what is holy and what is personal, what's devotion and what is compromise. Luke 14 is where he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. What? Well, first of all, that word hate is not our cultural definition of hate. Let's get that clear. The hate used in this passage is the word missio, or more accurately, to love less. In fact, our definition of hate, defined as intense dislike and often accompanied with enmity or malice, that word is actually the Hebrew word sane, and it is a term mostly used in the Bible as feelings that are felt in human beings towards one another and towards God. So what is Jesus talking about? What does he mean? Well, he means that sometimes in choosing the narrow path, in walking in his footsteps and following after his teachings, we might have to allow space and separation between us and our mom and dad, our spouses, our children, and our siblings. It never feels right, if I'm honest. But if I am learning to love in order, I'm learning that sometimes it means that I will have to choose. I also want to be clear about one other thing. That word child that Jesus uses is not an age or a station in life. Rather, it's a position. It's their offspring, a son or a daughter. Too many times in ministry, ministers have used this verse to justify abandonment of their primary responsibilities at the home. And that is not what Jesus is saying here. So back to love your parents. What does that mean? Maybe you're listening and you're like, I love my parents. They aren't a stumbling block. This isn't an issue for me at all. Why is it even a topic, Leslie? Wonderful. Count yourself among the blessed. This episode is for those that aren't so fortunate. This episode is for those of you who are torn, that can't have a healthy relationship with your parents, but feel the pull of coercive reconciliation often wrapped in religious language to make it right. I see you. It is hard. You're grieving, but more importantly, God sees your heart, even if no one else does. So what does it mean to love your parents? The truth is that loving your parents is inborn. Even children that have been horribly abused and misused will long for their parents to love them. But sadly, their parents' choices do not reveal love, but more so lust for what they desire and what they need. So when we look at the definition of love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 8, what does it mean to not give up and to endure through every circumstance with our parents? Does it mean that you have to put yourself in a position to get hurt? And that is your sacrifice, no matter what choices they might be making? No. We must remember that we can love and honor people without having them directly in our lives. And honor and love do go hand in hand. I might respect people I don't love, but I cannot love someone without also showing them respect. But how I show respect might be different than their expectation of my respect. And how I love someone might also be different than their expectation of that love. Because remember, we are choosing the true definition of love that prioritizes love for God as our source and allows that love to be the filter that moves to those around us. Here's the thing. Love requires boundaries. We've talked about it before. Why? Because if I don't have boundaries where others willfully and consistently put me in a position to hurt or be hurt, my response will be bitterness and resentment. Boundaries allows me space to remain in love with my parents. Whereas without that space, my love will turn into hate with malice and disregard. But when I allow my love for God to overwhelm my love for my parents, He is going to move my heart towards them, even if my feet remain planted. Here's an important distinction to recognize. Separation does not mean division. They're not the same thing. I can remain separate from someone and still want good things for them and want to see them heal and grow and eventually potentially have a relationship with them again when it is safe. There have been times in my life where I have had to distance myself from loved ones so that I could gain a better vantage point of their circumstances and choices and then assess my own. And there have been times when I had to remain distanced so I could separate myself from those choices so that those around me might be safe. Boundaries give us space to work through the resentment and make our way back to honor and love, whereas forced submission, that only fuels anger and resentment and removes an opportunity for that relationship to ever truly heal. So, you might be thinking, what does that look like practically? Great question. I'll do my best to answer that. But first of all, love with boundaries might look like not attending family functions where alcohol is present because your parents don't control their intake. Love with boundaries can look like ending a phone conversation that becomes an accusation or a projection of past issues instead of the check-in call that it was meant to be. I don't advocate hanging up on people, but I do think that saying, hey, mom, dad, I love you, but if you can't talk to me like an adult, or if you continue to bring up the past when I'm trying to work through those hurts, then I'm going to have to get off the phone. This gives them the option to change their language or tone or subject, if willing, and provides you the authority to make your way out of that conversation. With respect. There's a moment in the story of Jesus where he's ministering to the people around him. The disciples approach him and tell him that his mother and siblings are expecting him to meet with them. They had an expectation to be honored by Jesus, inviting them in and leaving what had him occupied at the moment. But Jesus flipped the script and he said, "These around me listening and doing the will of my Father, these are my mothers and brothers." We don't see their response, but I can imagine that might have felt like a slap in the face to Mary and his brothers. However, Jesus isn't dismissing them as unimportant or seeking to dishonor them. Rather, he's pointing out what is significant about where he is and what he's doing and who he is meeting with. He loved Mary, obviously. He allowed her a prompt public miracle when he stated he wasn't yet ready. And there are many other interactions that communicate honor and affection, including his provision for her at the cross when he said to John, "Here is your mother." He was making sure that she was always provided for. But in this moment, he was setting a boundary to separate what was holy from what was personal, what was devotion from what was compromise. If Jesus had to make that distinction from time to time, you can bet that we will too. Honor your father and mother. It wasn't just a suggestion, it was a commandment. And Jesus was without sin. So neither in this moment that I'm talking about or the moment that he got lost talking to religious leaders when he was 12, was he being dishonoring or disrespectful. Did they understand that at the time? Well, we know that when he was 12, their emotions got the better of them. But when he reminded who he was, those emotions were replaced with understanding. Here's the thing. When we say no to our parents, it isn't dishonoring or unloving, or it doesn't have to be. They might think so. Their emotions and fears and personal insecurities might translate your choices as unloving or dishonoring. But God knows the motives of your heart and understands your choices, even if they don't. Now, please don't hear what I am not saying. I am not saying be rude or disrespectful or abrasive or take every effort to put your parents in their place and hold a grudge over their choices. That is counter to love. I'm saying that we can kindly and respectfully communicate our limits to our parents and choose to love them regardless of their choices or whether or not we are in their space. I am saying that sometimes we need space to forgive and work through hurts from the past without demanding repayment from them or holding them hostage to our feelings of resentment and anger. I am saying that we can love one another better if we aren't putting ourselves in a position to be re-injured, ignored, or rejected. The truth is, there is only one perfect parent, God. Even our good parents on their best days are not perfect. And God isn't just the better version of our bad parents. He is perfect and represents perfectly what and how a parent should be. That being said, another way that we can love our parents is by respecting that they are people too. Some of you don't have an issue with loving your parents, but some of you don't do that well or safely. Some of us are so acquainted with the love of our parents that we take it and them for granted. And that isn't loving either. There's a reason why marriage requires this statement. And for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave or join to his wife. The point being that in marriage, there is a shift of priority and responsibility. So if I'm going to commit to my marriage, I have to let go of the comfort of parental relationship and not run back to it when things at home are difficult. Now, I am not talking about when things at home are abusive, and I am not talking about when you need a place to go that is safe and is healthy. I am talking about those of us who may overwhelm our parents with our needs out of selfishness. When we do that, we are not loving our parents well. I'm not valuing their marriage or their relationship. Instead, I am relying on them in a capacity that is no longer their role or responsibility now that I'm an adult. This habit can create resentment and even fear, putting our parents in a position to please us in order to keep the relationship or in order to keep connection with their grandkids. You know what I'm talking about. You ask mom or dad to help with the kids and they finally said no because they're learning this thing called boundaries. And now you've decided that they won't be allowed to see them at all. Not only is that unloving and unkind, that is manipulative and coercive, and it puts us in a position as aggressor. Again, not an act of love. We have to let our parents enjoy their lives and resist the impulse to make them responsible while we enjoy ours. That isn't to say you should never ask for help. We all need help from time to time. But we need to make sure that when we turn to them for help, we aren't negatively impacting their relationship with one another or with those that are around them. The more that I am learning about God's love for me, the more that I am aware that my love for Him must come first so that my love for others might reflect His love for me. Like Paul once said, it is not that I'm perfect in this. To the contrary, I am learning with you. I am shifting with you. And as you will see, as we keep moving through how to love all the relationships in our lives, we all could grow healthier. So what is one thing that you can do this week to love your parents? Do you need to set boundaries in spaces that feel oppressive or stir up anger or resentment? Do you just need permission to say no when your inner child is frightened and feels overwhelmed? Or is your struggle on the other side? Do you need to make a choice this week to engage your parents in love better? To figure out how to make the schedule work between you and your spouse instead of including mom and dad in to carry the load? To resist dropping the kids off and bring them along instead? To resist venting to your parents about all the wrong things in your life and holding them responsible to make you feel better? Those are very real decisions that you might need to make this week. Or maybe different ones came to mind that are more specific to your family dynamics that will help incorporate a deeper level of love in your heart. Only you know what that can be. But please, know this too. This Sifted Wheat community is supporting you and encouraging you as you learn to love well. Okay, now that I've stepped on all of our toes, let's talk about love your children next. In the meantime, sit with this challenge and share this challenge with others that need the same encouragement and support. Bandage your toes, maybe even invest in some steel-toed boots, because it's going to get personal over the next few months. Listen, I love you enough to be honest, and I am praying for your relationships to grow and to heal. First, with your parents.